as we descend toward the grass. We land with a bump, and I manage to keep both wings up until we reach a teeth-jarring stop near the end of the runway. I unclip the canopy, open it, release my harness, and clamber out. I stretch my limbs, undo my parachute, and smile down at the rosy-cheeked Miss Steele. "How was that?" I ask, reaching down to unbuckle her from the seat and the parachute.
"That was extraordinary. Thank you," she says, her eyes sparkling with joy.
"Was it more?" I pray she can't hear the hope in my voice.
"Much more."
She beams, and I feel 10 feet tall. "Come." I hold out my hand and help her out of the cockpit. As she jumps down, I fold her into my arms, pulling her against me. Filled with adrenaline, my body responds immediately to her softness. In a nanosecond, my hands are in her hair, and I'm tipping her head back so I can kiss her. My hand skims down to the base of her spine, pressing her against my growing erection, and my mouth takes hers in a long, lingering, possessive kiss. I want her. Here. Now. On the grass. She responds in kind, her fingers twisting in my hair, tugging, begging for more, as she opens up for me like a morning glory. I break away for air and rationality. Not in a field. Benson and Taylor are nearby. Her eyes are luminous, pleading for more. "Don't look at me like that, Anna." "Breakfast," I whisper, before I do something I'll regret. Turning, I clasp her hand and walk back toward the car.
"What about the glider?"
she asks as she tries to keep up with me. "Someone will take care of that. It's what I pay Taylor to do. We'll eat now. Come." She bounces along beside me, brimming with happiness. I don't know if I've ever seen her so buoyant. Her mood is infectious, and I don't remember if I've ever felt this upbeat either. I can't help my big, fat grin as I hold open the car door for her. With Kings of Leon belting from the sound system, I ease the Mustang out of the airfield toward I-95. As we cruise along the freeway, Anna's BlackBerry starts beeping. "What's that?" I ask. "Alarm for my pill," she mutters. "Good, well done. I hate condoms." From the sideways look I give her, I think she's rolling her eyes, but I'm not sure.
"I like that you introduced me to Mark as your girlfriend,"
she says, changing the subject. "Isn't that what you are?"
"Am I? I thought you wanted a submissive."
"So did I, Anastasia, and I do. But I've told you I want more, too."
"I'm very happy that you want more,"
she says. "We aim to please, Miss Steele," I tease as I pull into the International House of Pancakes, my father's guilty pleasure.
"IHOP?"
she says in disbelief. The Mustang rumbles to a stop. "I hope you're hungry."
"I would never have pictured you here."
My dad used to bring us to one of these whenever my mom went away to a medical conference. We shuffle into a booth, facing each other. It was our secret. I pick up a menu, watching Anna as she tucks her hair behind her ears and examines what IHOP has to offer for breakfast. She licks her lips in anticipation, and I'm forced to suppress my physical reaction. "I know what I want," I whisper, and wonder how she would feel visiting the restroom with me. Her eyes meet mine, and her pupils expand.
"I want what you want,"
she murmurs. As ever, Miss Steele does not back away from a challenge. "Here? Are you sure, Anna?" Her eyes dart around the quiet restaurant, then come to rest on me, darkening and full of carnal promise. "Don't bite your lip," I warn. Much as I'd like to, I'm not going to fuck her in the restroom at IHOP. She deserves better than that, and frankly, so do I. Not here, not now. If I can't have you here, don't tempt me. We're interrupted.
"Hi, my name's Leandra. What can I get for you, folks, today, this morning?"
Oh, God. I ignore the red-headed server. "Anastasia?" I prompt her.
I told you I want what you want.
Hell. She might as well be addressing my groin.
Shall I give you folks another minute to decide?
The waitress asks. No, we know what we want. I cannot tear my gaze from Anna's. We'll have two portions of the original buttermilk pancakes with maple syrup and bacon on the side, two glasses of orange juice, one black coffee with skim milk, and one English breakfast tea, if you have it. Anna smiles.
Thank you, sir. Will that be all?
The waitress exclaims, all breathy and embarrassed. Tearing my attention away from Anna, I dismiss the waitress with a look, and she scurries away.
You know, it's really not fair,
Anna says, her voice quiet as her finger traces a figure eight on the table.
What's not fair? How you disarm people. Women. Me.
Do I disarm you? I'm stunned.
All the time.
It's just looks, Anastasia.
No, Christian, it's much more than that.
She has this the wrong way around. And once again, I tell her how disarming I find her. Her brow furrows.
Is that why you've changed your mind?
Changed my mind?
Yes, about... us?
Have I changed my mind? I think I've just relaxed my boundaries a little, that's all. I don't think I've changed my mind, per se. We just need to redefine our parameters, redraw our battle lines, if you will. We can make this work, I'm sure. I want you submissive in my playroom. I will punish you if you digress from the rules. Other than that, well, I think it's all up for discussion. Those are my requirements, Miss Steele. What say you to that?
So I get to sleep with you in your bed?
Is that what you want?
Yes.
I agree, then. Besides, I sleep very well when you're in my bed. I had no idea.
I was frightened you'd leave me if I didn't agree to all of it, she says, her face a little pale.
I'm not going anywhere, Anastasia. Besides, how can she think that? I need to reassure her. We're following your advice, your definition, compromise. You emailed it to me. And so far, it's working for me.
I love that you want more.
I know. My tone is warm.
How do you know?
Trust me, I just do. You told me in your sleep. The waitress returns with our breakfast and I watch Anna devour it. More seems to be working for her.
This is delicious, she says.
I like that you're hungry. Must have been all the exercise last night and the thrill this morning. It was a thrill, wasn't it?
It was mighty fine, Mr. Gray,
she says as she pops the final piece of pancake into her mouth.
Can I treat you?
She adds. Treat me how?
Pay for this meal?
I snort. I don't think so.
Please, I want to.
Are you trying to completely emasculate me? I raise an eyebrow in warning.
This is probably the only place that I'll be able to afford to pay.
Anastasia, I appreciate the thought. I do. But no. She purses her lips with irritation when I ask the redhead for the check. Don't scowl, I warn, and check the time. It's 8:30. I have a meeting at 11:15 with the Savannah Brownfield Redevelopment Authority, so unfortunately we have to get back to the city. I contemplate canceling the meeting because I'd like to spend the day with Anna. But no, that's too much. I'm running after this girl when I should be concentrating on my business. Priorities, Gray. With her hand in mine, we head to the car looking like any other couple. She's swamped in my sweatshirt, looking casual, relaxed, beautiful. And yes, she's with me. Three guys strolling into IHOP check her out. She's oblivious even when I put my arm around her to stake my claim. She really has no idea how lovely she is. I open her car door, and she gives me a sunny smile. I could get used to this. I program her mother's address into the GPS, and we set off north on I-95, listening to the Foo Fighters.
Anna's feet tap to the beat. This is the sort of music she likes, all-American rock. The traffic on the freeway is heavier now, with commuters heading into the city. But I don't care. I like being here with her, spending time, holding her hand, touching her knee, watching her smile. She tells me about previous visits to Savannah. She's not keen on the heat, either, but her eyes light up when she talks about her mother. It'll be interesting to see her interacting with her mother and stepfather this evening. I pull up outside her mother's home with some regret. I wish we could play hooky all day. The last 12 hours have been nice. More than nice, Gray. Sublime. Do you want to come in? She asks. I need to work, Anastasia, but I'll be back this evening. What time? She suggests 7, then looks from her hands to me, her eyes bright and joyful.
Thank you for the more.
My pleasure, Anastasia. I lean over and kiss her, inhaling her sweet, sweet scent.
I'll see you later.
Try to stop me, I whisper. She climbs out of the car, still in my sweatshirt, and waves goodbye. I head back to the hotel, feeling a little emptier now that she's not with me. In my room, I call Taylor.
Mr. Gray.
Yeah, thanks for organizing this morning.
You're most welcome, sir.
He sounds surprised. I'll be ready to leave at 10:45 for the meeting.
I'll have the Suburban waiting outside.
Thanks. I change out of my jeans and into my suit, but leave my favorite tie beside my laptop as I order up coffee from room service. I work through my emails, drink coffee, and consider calling Roz. However, it's too early for her. I read through all the paperwork that Bill has sent. Savannah does make a good case for citing the plant here. I check my inbox, and there's a new message from Anna. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, soaring as opposed to soaring. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 10:20 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray.
Sometimes you really know how to show a girl a good time. Thank you, Anna X.
The title makes me laugh, and the kiss makes me feel 10 feet tall. I type up my response. From Christian Gray. Subject, soaring versus soaring. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 10:24 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Anastasia Steele. I'll take either of those over your snoring. I had a good time, too. But I always do when I'm with you. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. Her answer is almost immediate. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, snoring. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 10:26 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray.
I do not snore. And if I do, it's very ungallant of you to point it out. You are no gentleman, Mr. Gray. And you are in the Deep South, too. Anna.
I chuckle. From Christian Gray. Subject, somniloquy. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 10:28 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Anastasia Steele.
I have never claimed to be a gentleman, Anastasia, and I think I have demonstrated that point to you on numerous occasions. I am not intimidated by your shouty capitals, but I will confess to a small white lie. No, you don't snore, but you do talk, and it's fascinating.
What happened to my kiss? Christian Gray, CAD and CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. This will drive her crazy. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, spill the beans. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 10:32 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray.
You are a CAD and a scoundrel. Definitely no gentleman.
So, what did I say? No kisses for you until you talk.
Oh, this could run and run. From Christian Gray. Subject,
Sleeping Talking Beauty. Date, June 2, 2011, 10:35 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Anastasia Steele. It would be most ungallant of me to say, and I have already been chastised for that. But if you behave yourself, I may tell you this evening. I do have to go into a meeting now. Laters, baby. Christian Gray, CEO, CAD and Scoundrel, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. With a broad grin, I slip on my tie, grab my jacket, and head downstairs to find Taylor. Just over an hour later, I'm winding up my meeting with the Savannah Brownfield Redevelopment Authority. Georgia has a great deal to offer, and the team has promised GEH some serious tax incentives. There's a knock at the door, and Taylor enters the small conference room. His face looks grim, but what's more worrying is that he never, ever interrupts my meetings. My scalp prickles. Anna, is she okay? Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, he says to all of us. Yes, Taylor, I ask, and he approaches and speaks discreetly in my ear. We have a situation at home concerning Miss Leela Williams. Leela? What the hell? And part of me is relieved that it's not Anna. Would you excuse me, please? I ask the two men and two women from the SBRA. In the hallway, Taylor's tone is grave as he apologizes once more for interrupting my meeting. Don't worry, tell me what's happened. Miss Williams is in an ambulance on the way to the ER at Seattle Free Hope. Ambulance? Yes, sir. She broke into the apartment and made a suicide attempt in front of Mrs. Jones. Fuck. Suicide? Leela? In my apartment? She slashed her wrist. Gail went with her in the ambulance. She's informed me that the EMTs arrived in time and Miss Williams is not in any immediate danger. Why Escala? Why in front of Gail? I'm shocked. Taylor shakes his head. I don't know, sir. Neither does Gail. She can't get any sense out of Miss Williams. Apparently, she only wants to talk to you. Fuck. Exactly, sir. Taylor says without judgment. I scrape my hands through my hair, trying to grasp the magnitude of what Leela has done. What the hell am I supposed to do? Why did she come to me? Was she expecting to see me? Where's her husband? What's happened to him? How's Gail? A little shaken. I'm not surprised. I thought you should know, sir. Yes, sure. Thanks, I mumble, distracted. I can't believe it. Leela seemed happy when she last emailed, what, 6 or 7 months ago. But there are no answers for me here in Georgia. I have to go back and talk to her, find out why. Tell Stefan to ready the jet. I need to go home. Will do. Let's leave as soon as we can. I'll be in the car. Thank you. Taylor heads toward the exit, raising the phone to his ear. I'm reeling. Leela, what the hell? She's been out of my life for a couple of years. We've shared the occasional email. She got married. She seemed happy. What's happened? I head back into the boardroom and make my apologies before stepping outside into the stifling heat where Taylor is waiting in the Suburban. The plane will be ready in 45 minutes. We can head back to the hotel, pack, and go, he informs me. Good, I respond. Grateful for the car's air conditioning. I should call Gail. I've tried, but her phone goes to voicemail. I think she's still at the hospital. Okay, I'll call her later. This is not what Gail needs on a Thursday morning. How did Leela get into the apartment? I don't know, sir. Taylor makes eye contact with me in the rearview mirror, his face apologetic and grim at once. I'll make it a priority to find out. Our bags are packed and we're on our way to Savannah Hilton Head International when I call Anna, but frustratingly, she doesn't answer. I brood, staring out the window as we cruise toward the airport. I don't have to wait long for her to return my call. Anastasia. Hi, she says, her voice breathy, and it's such a pleasure to hear her. I have to return to Seattle. Something's come up.
I am on my way to the airport now. Please apologize to your mother. I can't make dinner.
Nothing serious, I hope?
I have a situation that I have to deal with. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll send Taylor to meet you at SeaTac if I can't come myself.
Okay,
she sighs.
I hope you sort out your situation. Have a safe flight.
I wish I didn't have to go. You too, baby, I whisper, and hang up before I change my mind and stay. I call Roz as we taxi toward the runway.
Christian, how's Savannah?
I'm on the plane coming home. I have a problem I have to deal with.
Something at GEH?
Roz asks, alarmed. No, it's personal. Anything I can do? No, I'll see you tomorrow.
How did your meeting go?
Positive, but I had to cut it short. Let's see what they put in writing. I might prefer Detroit just because it's cooler.
The heat's that bad?
Suffocating. I've got to go. I'll call for an update later.
Safe travels, Christian.
On the flight, I throw myself into work to distract me from the problem waiting at home. By the time we've touched down, I've read 3 reports and written 15 emails. Our car is waiting, and Taylor drives through the pouring rain straight to Seattle Freehope. I have to see Leela and find out what the hell is going on. As we near the hospital, my anger surfaces. Why would she do this to me? The rain is lashing down as I climb out of the car. The day is as bleak as my mood. I take a deep breath to control my fury and head through the front doors. At the reception desk, I ask for Leela Reed.
Are you family?
The nurse on duty glowers at me, her mouth pinched and sour. No, I sigh. This is going to be difficult.
Well, I'm sorry I can't help you.
She tried to open a vein in my apartment. I think I'm entitled to know where the hell she is. I hiss through my teeth.
Don't take that tone with me, she snaps.
I glare at her. I'm not going to get anywhere with this woman. Where is your ER department?
Sir, there's nothing we can do if you're not family.
Don't worry, I'll find it myself, I growl, and storm over to the double doors. I know I could call my mother, who would expedite this for me, but then I'd have to explain what's happened. The ER is bustling with doctors and nurses, and triage is full of patients. I accost a young nurse and give her my brightest smile.
Hello, I'm looking for Leela Reed. She was admitted earlier today. Can you tell me where she might be?
And you are?
She asks, a flush creeping over her face. I'm her brother. I lie smoothly, ignoring her reaction.
This way, Mr. Reed.
She bustles over to the nurse's station and checks her computer.
She's on the second floor, behavioral health ward. Take the elevators at the end of the corridor.
Thanks. I reward her with a wink, and she pushes a stray lock behind her ear, giving me a flirtatious smile that reminds me of a certain girl I left in Georgia. As I step out of the elevator on the second floor, I know something is wrong. On the other side of what look like locked doors, 2 security guards and a nurse are combing the corridor, checking each room. My scalp prickles, but I walk over to the reception area, pretending not to notice the commotion.
Can I help you?
Asks a young man with a ring through his nose.
I'm looking for Leela Reed. I'm her brother.
He pales.
Oh. Mr. Reed, can you come with me?
I follow him to a waiting room and sit down on the plastic chair that he points to. I note it's bolted to the floor.
The doctor will be with you shortly.
Why can't I see her? I ask.
The doctor will explain, he says, his expression guarded, and he exits before I can ask any further questions.
Shit. Perhaps I'm too late.
The thought nauseates me. I get up and pace the small room, contemplating a call to Gale, but I don't have to wait long. A young man with short dreads and dark, intelligent eyes enters. Is he her doctor?
Mr. Reed?
He asks.
Where's Leela?
He assesses me for a moment, then sighs and steels himself.
I'm afraid I don't know, he says. She's managed to give us the slip.
What?
She's gone. How she got out, I don't know.
Got out? I exclaim in disbelief and sink onto one of the chairs. He sits down opposite me. Yes, she's disappeared. We're doing a search for her now. She's still here? We don't know. And who are you? I ask.
I'm Dr. Ozzie Kiwe, the on-call psychiatrist.
He looks too young to be a psychiatrist. What can you tell me about Leela? I ask.
Well, she was admitted after a failed suicide attempt. She tried to slash one of her wrists at an ex-boyfriend's house. His housekeeper brought her here.
I feel the blood draining from my face.
And?
I ask. I need more information.
That's about as much as we know. She said it was an error of judgment, that she was fine, but we wanted to keep her here under observation and ask her further questions.
Did you talk to her?
I did.
Why did she do this?
She said it was a cry for help, nothing more. And having made such a spectacle of herself, she was embarrassed and wanted to go home. She said she didn't want to kill herself. I believed her. I suspect it was just suicidal ideation on her part.
How could you let her escape?
I run my hand through my hair, trying to contain my frustration. I don't know how she's gotten away. There will be an internal investigation. If she contacts you, I suggest you urge her to come back. She needs help. Can I ask you some questions?
Sure, I agree, distracted.
Is there any history of mental illness in your family? I frown, then remember that he's talking about Leela's family. I don't know. My family is very private about such matters. He looks concerned.
Do you know anything about this ex-boyfriend?
No, I state, a little too quickly. Have you contacted her husband? The doctor's eyes widen.
She's married?
Yes. That's not what she told us.
Oh, well, I'll call him. I won't waste any more of your time.
But I have more questions for you. I'd rather spend my time looking for her. She's obviously in a bad way. I rise.
But this husband...
I'll get in touch with him. This is getting me nowhere.
But we should do that.
Dr. Ozzie Kiwe stands.
I can't help you. I need to find her.
I head to the door.
Mr. Reed,
goodbye. I mutter, hurrying out of the waiting room and not bothering with the elevator. I take the fire escape stairs two at a time. I loathe hospitals. A memory from my childhood surfaces. I'm small and scared and mute, and the smell of disinfectant and blood clouds my nostrils. I shudder. As I step out of the hospital, I stand for a moment and let the torrential rain wash that memory away. It's been a stressful afternoon, but at least the rain is a refreshing relief from the heat in Savannah. Taylor swings around to pick me up in the SUV.
Home, I direct him as I get back in the car. Once I've buckled my seatbelt, I call Welch from my cell.
Mr. Gray, he growls.
Welch, I have a problem. I need you to locate Leela Reed, née Williams. Gail is pale and quiet as she studies me with concern.
You're not going to finish, sir?
She asks.
I shake my head. Was the food okay?
Yes, of course. I give her a small smile. After today's events, I'm not hungry. How are you bearing up?
I'm good, Mr. Gray. It was a total shock. I just want to keep busy.
I hear you. Thanks for making dinner. If you remember anything, let me know.
Of course. But like I said, she only wanted to speak to you.
Why? What is she expecting me to do? Thanks for not involving the police.
The police are not what that girl needs. She needs help.
She does. I wish I knew where she was.
You'll find her,
she says with quiet confidence, surprising me. Do you need anything? I ask.
No, Mr. Gray. I'm fine.
She takes the plate with my half-eaten meal to the sink. The news from Welch about Leela is frustrating. The trail has gone cold. She's not at the hospital, and they're still mystified as to how she escaped.
A small part of me admires that. She was always resourceful. But what could have made her so unhappy? I rest my head in my hands. What a day. From the sublime to the ridiculous. Soaring with Anna and now this mess to deal with. Taylor is at a loss as to how Leela got into the apartment, and Gail has no idea either. Apparently, Leela marched into the kitchen demanding to know where I was. And when Gail said I wasn't there, she cried out, "He's gone!" Then slashed her wrist with a box cutter. Fortunately, the cut wasn't deep. I glance at Gail cleaning up in the kitchen. My blood runs cold. Leela could have hurt her. Perhaps Leela's objective was to hurt me. But why? I scrunch my eyes, trying to remember if anything in our last correspondence might give me a clue as to why she's gone off the rails. I draw a blank, exasperated, and with a sigh, I head into my study. As I sit down, my phone buzzes with a text. Anna? It's Elliot.
Hey, hotshot. Want to shoot some pool?
Shooting pool with Elliot means him coming here and drinking all my beer. Frankly, I'm not in the mood.
Working. Next week?
Sure, before I hit the beach. I'll thrash you.
Laters.
I toss my phone onto the desk and pore over Leela's file, looking for anything that might give me a clue as to where she is. I find her parents' address and phone number, but nothing for her husband.
Where is he? Why isn't she with him?
I don't want to call her parents and alarm them. I call Welch and give him their number. He can find out if she's been in touch with them. When I switch on my iMac, there's an email from Anna. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, safe arrival. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 10:32 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray.
Dear sir, please let me know that you have arrived safely. I am starting to worry. Thinking of you. Your Anna. X.
Before I know it, my finger is on the little kiss she sent me. Anna. Sappy, Gray. Sappy. Get a grip. From Christian Gray. Subject, sorry. Date, June 2nd, 2011. 7:36 p.m. To Anastasia Steele. Dear Miss Steele, I have arrived safely, and please accept my apologies for not letting you know. I don't want to cause you any worry. It's heartwarming to know that you care for me. I am thinking of you, too, and as ever, looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. I press send and wish that she was here with me. She brightens up my home, my life, me. I shake my head at my fanciful thoughts and look through the rest of my emails. A ping tells me there's a new one from Anna. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, the situation. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 10:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray.
Dear Mr. Gray, I think it is very evident that I care for you deeply. How could you doubt that? I hope your situation is under control. Your Anna. X. P.S. Are you going to tell me what I said in my sleep?
She cares for me deeply? That's nice. All at once, that foreign feeling, absent all day, stirs and expands in my chest. Beneath it is a well of pain I don't want to acknowledge or deal with. It tugs at a lost memory of a young woman brushing out her long, dark hair. Fuck. Don't go there, Gray. I respond to Anna's email, and as a distraction decide to tease her. From Christian Gray. Subject, pleading the fifth. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 7:45 p.m. To Anastasia Steele. Dear Miss Steele, I like very much that you care for me. The situation here is not yet resolved. With regard to your P.S., the answer is no. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. From Anastasia Steele, subject, pleading insanity. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 10:48 p.m.
Eastern Standard Time.
To Christian Grey.
I hope it was amusing, but you should know I cannot accept any responsibility for what comes out of my mouth when I am unconscious. In fact, you probably misheard me. A man of your advanced years is surely a little deaf.
For the first time since I got back to Seattle, I laugh. What a welcome distraction she is. From Christian Grey. Subject, pleading guilty. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 7:52 p.m. To Anastasia Steele.
Dear Miss Steele, sorry, could you speak up? I can't hear you.
Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. Her response is swift. From Anastasia Steele, subject, pleading insanity again. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 10:54 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Grey.
You are driving me crazy.
From Christian Grey, subject, I hope so. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 7:59 p.m. To Anastasia Steele.
Dear Miss Steele, I intend to do exactly that on Friday evening. Looking forward to it.
Winking smiley face. Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. I'll have to think of something extra special for my little freak. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, grrr. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 11:02 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Grey.
I am officially pissed at you. Good night, Miss A.R. Steele.
Whoa. Would I tolerate this from anyone else? From Christian Grey. Subject, Wildcat. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 8:05 p.m. To Anastasia Steele.
Are you growling at me, Miss Steele?
I possess a cat of my own for growlers. Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. She doesn't respond. 5 minutes go by and nothing. 6, 7. Damn, she means it. How can I tell her that while she slept, she said she wouldn't leave me? She'll think I'm crazy. From Christian Grey. Subject, what you said in your sleep. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 8:20 p.m. To Anastasia Steele.
Anastasia, I'd rather hear you say the words that you uttered in your sleep when you're conscious. That's why I won't tell you.
Go to sleep. You'll need to be rested with what I have in mind for you tomorrow. Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. She doesn't respond. I hope for once she's doing what she's told and she's asleep. Briefly, I think of what we could do tomorrow, but it's too arousing, so I push the thought aside and concentrate on my emails. But I have to confess, I feel a little lighter after some email banter with Miss Steele. She's good for my dark, dark soul.
Friday, June 3rd, 2011. I can't sleep. It's after 2, and I've been staring at the ceiling for an hour. Tonight, it's not my sleeping nightmares that are keeping me awake. It's a waking one. Leela Williams. The smoke detector on my ceiling is winking at me, its flashing green light mocking me. Hell. I close my eyes and let my thoughts run free. Why was Leela suicidal? What possessed her? Her desperate unhappiness resonates with the younger, miserable me. I'm trying to quash my memories, but the anger and desolation of my solitary teen years resurfaces, and it won't go away. It reminds me of my pain, and of how I lashed out at everyone during my youth. Suicide crossed my mind often, but I always held back. I resisted for grace. I knew she'd be devastated. I knew she would blame herself if I took my life. And she'd done so much for me. How could I hurt her like that? And after I met Elena, everything changed. Rising from the bed, I pushed these disquieting thoughts to the back of my mind.
I need the piano. I need Anna. If she'd signed the contract and everything had gone according to plan, she would be with me, upstairs, asleep. I could wake her and lose myself in her. Or, under our new arrangement, she would be beside me, and I could fuck her and then watch her sleep. What would she make of Leela? As I sit down on the piano bench, I know that Anna will never meet Leela, which is a good thing. I know how she feels about Elena. Lord knows how she'd feel about an ex. A wayward ex. This is what I can't reconcile. Leela was happy, mischievous, and bright when I knew her. She was an excellent submissive. I thought she'd settled down and was happily married. Her emails never indicated that anything was awry. What went wrong? I start to play, and my troubled thoughts recede until it's just the music and me. Leela is servicing my cock with her mouth, her skilled mouth. Her hands are tied behind her back, her hair braided. She's on her knees, eyes cast down, modest, alluring, not seeing me. And suddenly she's Anna. Anna on her knees before me, naked, beautiful. My cock in her mouth. But Anna's eyes are on mine. Her blazing blue eyes see everything. See me, my soul. She sees the darkness and the monster beneath. Her eyes widen in horror, and suddenly she disappears. Shit. I wake with a start and a painful erection that wanes as soon as I recall Anna's wounded look in my dream. What the hell? I rarely have erotic dreams. Why now? I check my alarm. I've beaten it by a few minutes. The morning sunlight is creeping between the buildings as I rise. Already I'm restless, no doubt as a result of my disturbing dream, so I decide to go for a run to burn off some energy. There are no new emails, no messages, no updates on Leela. The apartment is quiet as I leave. There's no sign of Gail yet. I hope she's recovered from yesterday's ordeal. I open the glass doors in the lobby, step outside into a balmy, sunny morning, and carefully scan the street. As I start my run, I check down the alleys and in the doorways I pass, and behind the parked cars, to see if Leela is there. Where are you, Leela Williams? I turn the volume up on the Foo Fighters, and my feet pound the sidewalk. Olivia is exceptionally irritating today. She spilled my coffee, dropped an important call, and keeps mooning at me with her big brown eyes. Get Roz back on the line, I bark at her. Better still, get her up here. I shut my office door and go back to my desk. I must try not to take my temper out on my staff. Welch has no news, except that Leela's parents think their daughter is still in Portland with her husband. There's a knock on my door. Come in. I hope to God it's not Olivia. Roz pokes her head around. You wanted to see me? Yes, sure. Come in. Where are we with Woods? Roz exits just before 10. All is on track. Woods has decided to accept the deal, and the aide for Darfur will soon be on the road to Munich in preparation for the airlift. There's no news yet from Savannah about their offer. I check my inbox and find a welcome email from Anna. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, homeward bound. Date, June 3rd, 2011, 12:53 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray.
Dear Mr. Gray, I am once again ensconced in first class, for which I thank you. I am counting the minutes until I see you this evening, and perhaps torturing the truth out of you about my nocturnal admissions. Your Anna. X.
Torturing me? Oh, Miss Steele, I think it will be the other way around. As I have a great deal to do, I keep my reply short. From Christian Gray. Subject, homeward bound. Date, June 3rd, 2011, 9:58 a.m. To Anastasia Steele. Anastasia, I look forward to seeing you. Christian Gray,
CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. But Anna is not satisfied. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, Homeward Bound. Date, June 3rd, 2011. 1:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray.
Dearest Mr. Gray, I hope everything is okay regarding the situation. The tone of your email is worrying. Anna. X.
At least I still earned a kiss. Surely she should be airborne by now. From Christian Gray. Subject, Homeward Bound. Date, June 3rd, 2011. 10:04 a.m. To Anastasia Steele. Anastasia, the situation could be better. Have you taken off yet? If so, you should not be emailing. You are putting yourself at risk, in direct contravention of the rule regarding your personal safety. I meant what I said about punishments. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. I'm about to call Welch for an update, but there's a ping. Anna again. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, overreaction. Date, June 3rd, 2011, 1:06 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray.
Dear Mr. Grumpy, the aircraft doors are still open. We are delayed, but only by 10 minutes. My welfare and that of the passengers around me is vouchsafed. You may stow your twitchy palm for now. Miss Steele.
A reluctant smile tugs at my lips. Mr. Grumpy, eh? And no kiss. Oh, dear. From Christian Gray. Subject, apologies, twitchy palm stowed. Date, June 3rd, 2011, 10:08 a.m. To Anastasia Steele. I miss you and your smart mouth, Miss Steele. I want you safely home. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, apology accepted. Date, June 3rd, 2011, 1:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray.
They are shutting the doors. You won't hear another peep from me, especially given your deafness. Laters. Anna. X.
My kiss is back. Well, that's a relief. Grudgingly, I drag myself away from the computer screen and pick up my phone to call Welch. At 1 o'clock, I decline Andrea's offer of lunch at my desk. I need to get out. The walls of my office are closing in on me, and I think it's because there's been no news about Leela. I'm worried about her. Hell, she came to see me. She decided to use my home as her stage. How could I not take this personally? Why didn't she email me or phone? If she was in trouble, I could have helped. I would have helped. I've done it before. I need some fresh air. I march past Olivia and Andrea, who both look busy, though I catch Andrea's puzzled look as I step into the elevator. Outside, it's a bright, bustling afternoon. I take a deep breath and detect the soothing tang of salt water from the sound. Perhaps I should take the rest of the day off. But I can't. I have a meeting with the mayor this afternoon. It's irritating. I'm seeing him tomorrow at the Chamber of Commerce gala. The gala? Suddenly I have an idea, and with a renewed sense of purpose, I head toward a small store I know. After my meeting at the mayor's office, I walk the 10 or so blocks back to Escala. Taylor has gone to collect Anna from the airport. Gail is in the kitchen when I enter the living room.
Good evening, Mr. Gray.
Hi, Gail. How was your day?
Good. Thank you, sir.
Feeling better?
Yes, sir. The clothes arrived from Miss Steele. I unpacked them and hung them in the closet in her room.
Great. No sign of Leela? Dumb question. Gail would have called me.
No, sir. This also arrived.
She holds up a small red store bag. Good. I take the bag from her, ignoring the delighted twinkle in her eye.
How many for supper this evening?
2, thanks. And Gail?
Sir?
Can you put the satin sheets on the playroom bed? I really hope to get Anna in there at some point over the weekend.
Yes, Mr. Gray,
she says, her tone a little surprised. She turns back to whatever she's conjuring in the kitchen, leaving me a little baffled by her behavior. Maybe Gail doesn't approve, but it's what I want from Anna. In my study, I take the Cartier box from its bag. It's a present for Anna, which I'll give to her tomorrow in time for the gala. A pair of earrings. Simple, elegant, beautiful. Just like her. I smile. Even in her chucks and jeans, she has a certain gamine charm. I hope she accepts my gift. As my submissive, she'd have no choice. But under our alternative arrangement, I don't know what her reaction will be. Whatever the outcome, it will be interesting. She always surprises me. As I put the box in my desk drawer, a ping on my computer distracts me. Barney's latest tablet designs are in my inbox, and I'm eager to see them. 5 minutes later, Welch calls.
Mr. Gray,
he wheezes. Yes, what news?
I spoke with Russell Reed, Mrs. Reed's husband.
And? Immediately I'm agitated. I storm out of my study and across the living room to the windows.
He says his wife is away, visiting her parents,
Welch reports.
What?
Precisely. Welch sounds as pissed as I am. Seeing Seattle at my feet, knowing Mrs. Reed, a.k.a. Leela Williams, is out there somewhere, increases my irritation. I rake my fingers through my hair.
Maybe that's what she told him.
Maybe, he says. But we found nothing so far.
No trace? I can't believe she could just disappear.
Nothing. But if she so much as uses an ATM, cashes a check, or logs into her social media, we'll find her.
Okay.
We'd like to scour the CCTV footage from around the hospital. It's going to cost money and take a little longer. Is that acceptable?
Yes. A tingle prickles my scalp. Not from the call. For some unknown reason, I sense I'm being watched. Turning, I see Anna standing on the threshold of the room, scrutinizing me, her brow furrowed and her lips pensive, and she's wearing a short, short skirt. She's all eyes and legs, especially legs. I imagine them wrapped around my waist. Desire, raw and real, fires my blood as I stare.
We'll get right on it, Welch says.
I finish up with him, my eyes fixed on Anna's, and I prowl toward her, stripping off my jacket and tie and tossing them onto the sofa. Anna. I wrap my arms around her, tugging at her ponytail, lifting her eager lips to mine. She tastes of heaven and home and fall and Anna. Her scent invades my nostrils as I take everything her warm, sweet mouth has to offer. My body hardens with expectation and hunger as our tongues entwine. I want to lose myself in her, to forget about the shitty end to my week, forget about everything but her. My lips feverish against hers, I tug the hair tie from her ponytail as her fingers knot in mine. I'm suddenly overwhelmed by my need, desperate for her, and I pull away, staring down into a face that's dazed with passion. I feel the same way. What is she doing to me?
What's wrong?
She whispers, and the answer is clear, ringing in my head. I've missed you. I'm so glad you're back. Shower with me, now.
Yes,
she responds, her voice hoarse. I take her hand and we head to my bathroom. I turn on the shower, then face her. She's gorgeous, her eyes bright and gleaming with anticipation as she watches me. My gaze rakes down her body to her naked legs. I've never seen her in such a short skirt, with so much of her flesh on display, and I'm not sure I approve. She's for my eyes only. I like your skirt. It's very short. Too short. You have great legs. Stepping out of my shoes, I take off my socks, and without breaking eye contact, she too slips off her shoes. Fuck the shower. I want her now. Stepping toward her, I clasp her head, and we step back so she's against the tiled wall, her lips parting as she inhales.
Holding her face and lacing my fingers into her hair, I kiss her. Her cheek, her throat, her mouth. She's nectar, and I can't get enough. Her breath catches in her throat, and she grasps my arms. But at her touch, there's no protest from the darkness within. There's just Anna, in all her beauty and innocence, kissing me back with a fervor that matches mine. My blood is thick with desire, my erection painful. I want you now, here. Fast, hard, I murmur, as my hand runs up her naked thigh beneath her skirt. Are you still bleeding?
No.
Good. I push her skirt up over her hips, hook both thumbs into her cotton panties, and drop to the floor, kneeling, slipping the panties down her legs. She gasps when I grab her hips and kiss the sweet junction beneath her pubic hair. Moving my hands to the backs of her thighs, I part her legs, exposing her clitoris to my tongue. When I start my sensual assault, her fingers dive into my hair. My tongue torments her, and she moans and tips her head back against the wall. She smells exquisite. She tastes better. As she purrs, she tilts her pelvis toward my invading, insistent tongue, and her legs begin to tremble. Enough. I want to come inside her. It will be my skin against her skin again, like in Savannah. Releasing her, I stand and grasp her face, capturing her surprised and disappointed mouth with mine, kissing her hard. I unzip my fly and lift her, clutching her under her thighs. Wrap your legs around me, baby. My voice is rough and urgent. As soon as she does, I thrust forward, sliding into her. She's mine. She's heaven. Clinging to me, she whimpers as I plunge into her, slowly at first, then building as my body takes control, driving me forward, driving me into her, faster and faster, harder and harder, my face at her throat. She moans, and I feel her quicken around me, and I'm lost in her, in us, as she climaxes, crying out her release. The feel of her pulsing around me tips me over the edge, and I come deep and hard inside her, growling out a garbled version of her name. I kiss her throat, not wanting to withdraw, waiting for her to calm. We're in a cloud of steam from the shower, and my shirt and pants are sticking to my body, but I don't care. Anna's breathing slows, and she feels weightier in my arms as she relaxes. Her expression is wanton and dazed as I pull out of her, so I hold her fast while she finds her feet. Her lips rise in a winsome smile.
You seem pleased to see me, she says.
Yes, Miss Steele. I think my pleasure is pretty self-evident. Come, let me get you in the shower. I undress quickly, and when I'm naked, I begin undoing the buttons on Anna's blouse. Her eyes move from my fingers to my face. How was your journey? I ask.
Fine, thank you,
she says, her voice a little throaty.
Thanks once again for first class. It really is a much nicer way to travel.
She takes a quick breath, as if she's steeling herself.
I have some news,
she says.
Oh?
What now? I remove her blouse and deposit it on top of my clothes.
I have a job.
She sounds reticent.
Why?
Did she think I'd be angry? Of course she's found a job. Pride swells in my chest. Congratulations, Miss Steele. Now, will you tell me where? I ask with a smile.
You don't know?
Why would I know? With your stalking capabilities, I thought you might have... She stops to study my face. Anastasia, I wouldn't dream of interfering in your career. Unless you ask me to, of course.
So you have no idea which company?
No, I know there are 4 publishing companies in Seattle, so I am assuming it's one of them.
SIP, she announces.
Oh, the small one. Good.
Well done.
It's the company that Roz identified as ripe for takeover. This will be easy. I kiss Anna's forehead.
Clever girl. When do you start? Monday.
That soon, eh?
I'd better take advantage of you while I still can. Turn around. She obeys immediately,